Thank you, ladies. Tell you what, you make a self-case out of, again, the grace of God. We could have been born deaf or blind or something else. And the question, do we care? That is one of our home missions. We do have folks in our church that work the deaf ministry. It's kind of not in the spotlight. It's kind of not much said about it. But it's there, and they're faithful. And it means something to the few folks that come. And can you just imagine sitting there and not hearing a thing? And I appreciate the folks at work with the deaf ministry. We've been doing that for many years. We actually got it started in the old church building. And at times, we'd have as many maybe as five or six regulars. Through the years, it's gone up and down, and there's not been that many in a long time. But I actually went out and did visitation. We brought in a man that worked deaf evangelist. He himself could hear and see and all, but he had a burden. Many of you know the Bill Rice Ranch and others that have had a real burden about it. And he and I knocked a lot of doors in about a 10-day period. And we reached a few souls. I learned something. I found out they're very sensitive people. They have feelings just like we do. And oftentimes, it was hard to find them because Oftentimes, even their families kind of would not help you. They'd almost hide them away. It almost had a stigma on it that kept us from being able to minister to them. And we'd find that, like us, they had their pride too. So I learned quite a bit in that 10 days, and we got the deaf ministry going, and we've had it going ever since. Like I say, sometime nobody maybe, sometime two or three. But it's important to those that have come through the years. And we've seen, I'll tell you this, most of them won't come long without getting saved. The gospel will go to them in the sign language, and they will get saved. And so we praise God for that. Thank you, ladies, for that emphasis there, that message. Tonight don't take this for granted. We're so familiar with what we do around here. But do you know there's a lot of people that come on Sunday morning that don't know what we do the rest of the week? That's true. I mean, all across the board, so many of our ministries are not known by maybe just the folks that are able to come on Sunday morning. And we do try to every now and then, try to get some of it out to them. But that's a challenge. So let's don't take our ministries that we work with all the time for granted. Such as the bus ministry. I'm going to ask Brother Pitch to come up and say something about it. Again, we started that within the first few months that I came here in 1971. And we've never been without the bus ministry. And Brother Pitts can tell you a lot of stories on it. And he's been faithful to it all these many, many years. And he actually don't look it, but he's older than me. You do understand that. No, but he's been with me most of the time. And I'm going to ask him to speak to the bus ministry tonight, Brother Pitts.
Well, the preacher told me he wanted me to say a few words about the blessings of the bus ministry. Amen. And college students know I have a different definition for blessings, but like when I give a test or something like that. But you know, the number one blessing of the bus ministry is that it reaches lost people with the gospel. And it just doesn't get any better than that. And every ministry that's going to be represented tonight, and even some that may be overlooked, the bottom line is always the same, and that's souls. Amen. And so every week, of course, our folks are so faithful to run the buses, visit the kids on Saturdays, and the families that are part of the bus ministry. And I've been at it for a long time, like the preacher said. And, you know, I'll go to Walmart or someplace like that. By the way, I broke a vow the other day. I vowed that I would never go to Walmart between Thanksgiving and Christmas, but I had to go there to get some ammo. So that was a escape clause in that vow, I believe. But I go to places like that, and I'll have folks come up to me, former students from the school, and kids and parents that rode the buses when they were kids, and they remember us, amen. And sometimes we get the opportunity to sign their kids up to come on the bus and do for them what we did for their parents when they were young like that. I want to just mention a few things about the bus ministry. You know, the bus ministry is a very practical ministry. It's one of the greatest tools, I believe, that God has given the church in these last numbers of decades. And bus ministry back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, of course, was very popular throughout the country, and just untold numbers of souls that were reached through the bus ministry. A lot of churches have dropped off from running buses, and you know, there's been articles written that you know, bus ministry doesn't work anymore. Well, it doesn't work if we don't work. Amen. That's the bottom line right there. I saw a picture in a religious publication a number of years ago, and it showed an old bus out behind a church somewhere. The hood was up, a couple of the tires were flat, and the whole article was about the bus ministry doesn't work anymore. And I brought it to bus meeting that day, and I told them, I said, don't show this to my bus kids, because I go by and knock on their door and invite them to come, and they come. They don't know it doesn't work anymore, amen? And so the bus ministry provides an opportunity to reach into those homes and to reach those families. You know, every time that we go out on Saturday and make those visits, we take gospel tracts, we take the bus banner, the same thing that we give out in the church bulletins, and you just never know what's gonna happen to that stuff. You never know who's gonna read those materials from time to time. If it's like the little table beside my chair, things pile up, you know, and we all have heard testimonies of folks that have been reached through gospel tracts and through things like that. And I tell our bus workers sometimes, it's been my experience to go to homes and visit, you know, week after week, month after month, even year after year, and have those kids come faithfully. And maybe mom or dad just tolerates it. They use it as a babysitting service so they can have a break on Sunday. And that's okay. We'll take their kids and we'll win them to Christ. Amen. And but, you know, every now and then you go back on a Saturday and mom or dad will come to the door and something tragic happened in that family that week. And the Lord uses those circumstances to open them to a presentation of the gospel. Realize we, pastor and staff here, have conducted funerals for families that are in the bus ministry. And the only connection they have to any church anywhere is that their kid rode the bus to the Landmark. And the Lord uses that, of course, for us to reach those folks. That is the ultimate goal of the bus ministry, to reach the entire family for Christ. The bus ministry gives us an opportunity to, you know, to provide that transportation for those that perhaps wouldn't be able to come otherwise. But, you know, the bus ministry is not just a matter of transportation. It's a matter of showing personal interest in people. That's how most of us got into church, unless we were raised in church, you know, like I was. But, you know, somebody showed an interest in us. Somebody extended an invitation, and someone made us feel welcome to come and visit. And, you know, the whole idea, of course, of the bus ministry is that the bus ministry makes the church just as close as the nearest street where the kids can get on the bus each and every week. In a very real sense, the bus is a mobile chapel to carry out the gospel and to minister to those young people. And the program on the bus is essentially the opening exercises for the Sunday school class. And it prepares the kids, of course, for the teaching and preaching of God's word. Another thing I would say is this: the bus ministry provides a continuing Christian education to those who come faithfully week after week. Sunday school teachers don't sell short what God has given you the opportunity to do, and to be a faithful witness, to be a faithful teacher of God's word to those young people. I got a call this week from Sister Sarah Wren. She was teaching Sunday school when I came here, and that was in 1975. And she's having to give up her Sunday school class because of the health of her husband, Brother Jack. We've been praying for him. And I thought about all those lessons, all those times that were invested into those third grade girls that she's taught faithfully throughout these years. And so pray for Brother Jack. Pray that the Lord will show himself mighty on his behalf. You know, I'll conclude by saying this. The bus ministry brings God's attention and blessings to our church. Think about it like this. All those kids that come and all those kids that have come through the years, if it were not for the buses from Landmark, who would have reached them in these communities around here? And the answer is not too many. Not too many are gonna make the effort that that our folks have made through these years. The bus ministry keeps our hearts tender toward the needs of others. And then I'll say this, the bus ministry helps us train people to serve the Lord. Our college students, when they come in every year, we place them on a bus route. And the idea is for them to be trained to serve the Lord in that capacity. And many of them, we had some testimonies in chapel in college just the other day, and it was such a blessing as some of the students talked about the connections that they have with their bus kids and how much they've learned to love them and to befriend them and so forth. And that's what it's all about, folks. It's about showing ourselves friendly and allowing the Lord to use us to reach others. The blessings of the bus ministry. I started to write a list today, but after I got to about 312, I thought I better stop. Amen. And, you know, a couple Sundays ago, we had our Sunday school campaign, our cowboy campaign. And the highlight, of course, was on the day that we hit 500 on the buses that day. That was the best we've had in quite a while. And bus workers, don't feel too comfortable. That's halfway what we want to have on anniversary Sunday. So so rest up while you can. Amen. All right, preacher.
Well, thank you, Brother Pitts. Faithfulness through the years. They said, well, when the gasoline hits a dollar, you'll have to park those buses. But we didn't. And God has provided through the years. He mentioned Brother Jack Wren and Sayer and their faithfulness through all these years. They were actually members of the church before Brother Pitts got here, and that means they were here almost shortly after I got here, not long after I came. And here's the thing about their faithfulness. They drive all the way from Lakeland, 25-plus miles, from kind of the middle of the city there, and they've done that all these years, and God has used them. Only heaven's going to record the faithfulness of people that have served him like that. And bus workers that have been so faithful. Brother Mike Pritchard passed away here, what now, has it been 2 years? Close. And I led him to the Lord in my office, and he went to work with me on the bus route the next week or the next. And it was never quit until he stepped on into the Lord's presence. That's the kind of people that God has used here through the many ministries. Bus ministry is a great one. Don't take it for granted. Again, what Brother Pitts said a while ago, who would have reached those kids? We reached probably nobody. So we thank God for it. We've heard testimonies. Some of you remember the serial killer out in Texas. I forget what his name was right now. Killed all the young boys, buried some of them under his house and all of that business a few years ago. Well, of course, it hit the paper and hit the news. And up in Jacksonville, where Pastor Bob Gray was pastor at that time, they'd had a bus ministry through the years. And they began to read those kids' names in the paper and found out that many of those kids that he had killed had lived in Jacksonville, ridden their buses, and received Christ as their Savior. Only heaven knows all those stories like that. And we praise God for our bus workers. Tonight, we're going to move on through some of the regular ones that we're talking about. Again, let's don't take our radio station for granted. I praise God he sent Brother Doug Auschwitz with us to help us with the radio station. I told you the other night, maybe some of you have seen it, the new tower is up. It's not wired in yet. We're still praying about, and that's a big part of it. But my, what a victory to finally see it after about 3 years of the devil knocking it down. It's back up. That means our coverage is going to reach further. We get all kind of good reports from way off where technology now allows us to be heard. I'm going to ask Brother Doug, if he would. He's managing for us at the radio station and doing a good job. We're going to ask him to come up and say a word now about the radio station.
Well, I have a little news for you. I pulled out of the tower tonight for the old Polk Hotel, and I saw the light on the new tower. That was a blessing. That was a blessing. I was so excited. I drove over there. I was like, I got to be seeing things. And I wasn't. The light was on. So praise the Lord, man. Like Motel 6, we'll leave the light on for you. Man, all right. Well, I'll tell you, years ago, most of you guys know the story, but some of you don't, and I just want to hear it again. Back quite a few years ago, my kids were using the homeschool curriculum here, and we came to Florida for the very first time. Never been down south past Georgia from basic training. And we came to Florida for the very first time. And we decided, well, we were going to visit some friends at the Landmark Baptist Church. We're like, hey, nice. That's where our curriculum comes from. So that'll be nice. Didn't know Pastor Carter. Didn't know anybody here. And so we came. We came on an anniversary Sunday. It was crazy as anything. But it was fun. And I even won a $5 thing from Pastor Carter gave me a $5 Walmart gift certificate. What a blessing. So that was good. But anyhow, some the friends of ours, we came to see, they said, you know, this church even has a radio station. And I said, really? Well, I was one where up north in the town we lived up there, they had all contemporary Christian radio stations, and I hated them. And of course, I was a country music guy, and that's all I knew. Well, I decided I was going to listen to this radio station. It was on a Sunday, and it was playing a lot of sacred music, the kind of music you were like, Ron. You know, it was good stuff. But my neighbor said, my friend says, he says, look, he says, play sacred music on Sundays, but the rest of the week is all bluegrass and southern gospel. And I was like, all right. So needless to say, I went home, and I was like, man, I was off in Jibip somewhere, wherever the army was sending me. I was like, I wonder if I can get that radio station. So I had a little free time, and I get to the internet, and I just typed in Gospel 90.3. Son of a gun, it came up on the internet. I was so excited. I was like, man, I found a new thing in life. This is great. So whatever time it was during the day, here I am. I'm listening to Matt and Mike in the morning. I don't know. It may have been 7 o'clock at night. It may have been 10 o'clock. I don't remember, but I was listening to Matt and Mike. And I fell in love with those guys. I felt like I knew everybody here. I loved Matt and Mike in the morning. And they were just so great. And I got a chance once in a while to listen to the Heading Home show a little bit. But Matt and Mike, they were my guys. And it was just the time of day when I was able to listen wherever I was in the world. And it was such a blessing for me. And then Mike had left, and Matt ran the radio station, and it was real good. But, you know, I want to say, you know, it's the hardest thing it's the weirdest thing coming from wherever I was in the world that this radio station played. And I'd listen to the Landmark Hour with Pastor Carter, and it was such a blessing. And even wherever I was, a lot of times there wasn't a good gospel preaching church outside of the military base I was in, so I was able to at least get some good church. And it was such a blessing, this radio station, to me. And when I came here, I came down here to Florida as a recruiter, and I finished up as my retirement. And I ended up being able to go to the college here through the GI Bill. Yay! Praise the Lord for the GI Bill. And I came to the college through the GI Bill. And so Brother Parsons said, you know, we might need help in the radio station one day. And I said, well, I can help you out. I'd love to help out. And it just worked out to where I'm pretty much running most of the stuff over there under the direction of Pastor Carter and under the direction with Brother Parsons, which is closely guided by them, by the way, just so you know that. It's not like the radio runs itself. The radio is a ministry of the Landmark Baptist Church. And some things that people don't realize that the radio is a ministry of the Landmark Baptist Church. It's not Gospel 90.3 all by itself. And you folks, everybody that gives to the radio station, whether you're given a dollar or whether you give $1,000 or whether you give $5, it doesn't matter. Everything you give helps this radio station stay on the air for people like me. When I was off in Jibib somewhere or wherever I was, this being able to hear such wonderful God-honoring music over the internet is such a blessing. And I just fell in love with this radio station. I love Gospel 90.3. And I thank Pastor Carter and for everybody here who gave to the radio station all these years. It was funny because I was able to give when I was in Afghanistan. I called up during Restorathon. I called up when I was in Korea. And it was like, I don't even know. It was time for me to go to bed. It was like 10, 11 o'clock at night. I think we're 13 hours ahead in Korea, if I'm right. And I called and I got somebody. I said, I want to talk to Matt Pounce in the booth. And they're like, what? He's up there. He's working. He doesn't have time. I said, look, I'm calling from Korea. And the guy's like, oh, okay, no problem. So a few minutes later, I was talking to Matt Pounce at a booth. I was all excited. But I gave my donation that day from Korea. But I've given it from half the states in the Union. And it was just such a blessing. And I just want to tell you, I love the radio station. And I hope you guys love it as much as I do. We have a great crew right now. Jesse is the voice. Jesse Maxwell, as you know, is the voice of the radio station, pretty much. And he does such a great job with the Heading Home show, and he's got a helper now with Luke Carringer, and we have some of the college kids, Craig Borgazzani, and like I said, Luke and Alan, and we've got so many. And Mrs. Bradley's a helper, too. She's helping us out. It's just such a blessing. And I just want to thank everybody. I want to thank everybody for doing what you do with the radio station, especially come Restorathon time. And you know what? I was going to get a countdown thing and say, we only have so many. What do we got? About 12 weeks to Restorathon, right? Praise the Lord.
Well, we asked Brother Doug to represent the radio, but we appreciate all of the folks that contribute and work, a lot of it behind the scenes. And who in the world would have thought that technology that the devil has used has turned into something good to get the gospel around the world and the radio station around the world? And we couldn't have dreamed of that when we started with that first little AM station, barely reaching the city limits of Haines City. That's the way we started. And how many of you know where the location of the original radio station was? Raise your hand. But many of you don't. Let me explain to you. If you go out 544 and keep looking on the right, there'll be a tower with a bird's nest in it. The bird owns it now. That's okay. God was in it. And he moved us into the tower building, and it's a tremendous ministry. Amen. All right. Like I say, we don't want to take these different ones for granted. Ministries that we have with... still an outreach. It takes dedication. It takes patience. And a lot of patience is to have the ministries with the nursing homes. And I'm using that in a general term. But I'm going to ask Brother Nixon to come up and tell what he does. Then we'll have Brother Larry Mikowski follow him. Again, I say Sunday morning crowd don't know what's going on outside the building and all over the place. And I want you to help me explain to them it's not just all right in here on Sunday morning. Brother Nixon, you come on, please.
In Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 4, it says, "And even in your old age, I am he. And even to your hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made you, and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you." The function of the folks who do the nursing homes are to give these people peace, hope, and comfort by using the Word of God to show them that it's their soul and not their body that really counts. And we don't go there to preach at these folks. We go there to give them hope, peace, and comfort. And there are a number of nursing homes that we do. The Haines City Health Center here in Haines City, I do it every Saturday. We run about 25, 26 people. And many of those people are paralyzed. The only thing they can move is their heads. There's a young lady named Yolanda who works there. She gets all those people out for us. And the other one that's down there is Cheryl. And Cheryl makes sure that so many of them come to services on Saturday. But to look at someone and know that soon they won't be there anymore. There was a fellow named Ed, and I could look right over there every week, and he wanted his Sunday school paper. And he would be there. And 1 week, 3 weeks ago, I looked and there was no Ed. And I said, Yolanda, where's Ed? And she said, he came home from the hospital and he died. And I started to say, oh no. And I said, praise God, he's gone. He's up in heaven. And that's what these people are waiting for. And our function is to try and help them to handle what they have. And we have a number of people here at the church that do that. At the Haines City Health Center, Ron Martin and his family help me when they're not at Senior Patriots. And we do a pretty good time there. When his family's not there, I have to do everything a cappella, but because I don't have a piano player. If I have a volunteer for Saturdays, but Brother Pitts keeps them all locked up. And so the Haines City Health Center, Brother Bob does it for me when I can't get there. And we have the Palm Crest, which is for most people who are able to walk. Their problem is mental, it's not physical. And Brother Messerschmidt helped and his wife do that the first Sunday of every month because I come up here and sing. And I appreciate that. And then Mike Perkins and I do a place called The Lighthouse. And The Lighthouse is a mission for the homeless. They have 60 to 80 people who come there to get supper or are there to go to school and get retrained. Now, they cannot get supper unless they go to church. And so Brother Mike and I get to preach there. I'm not sure of his numbers, but I have been able to be blessed by God and had 70 souls saved this year. The Oswardis helped me over there for 3 years, and then he left me. And I looked around, and I found somebody to help, and it was Hector and Sharon. And they do a great job, and they helped me out. And this coming month, you know, I do the fourth Tuesday. And I said, do you two know that the fourth Tuesday of this year is Christmas Eve? I said, I'm going to be there. And they looked at me and said, so will we. And so that's a great thing. And so we have the ladies from the church do their visitation. They visit the nursing homes. We have many college students. They do Savannah Court. They rotate, as far as I could find out from Mike. And so we do have many. The Ladies Foster Club visits down at the nursing homes. But we have more nursing homes, and we have nobody to do them. Mike can't find anybody to help. Listen, these people are in there, and many of them have no friends, no family. They're just there, and they need help. And so if you would be willing to do what God would have you to do, talk to Brother Perkins and he can put you in a nursing home. It'd be a fantastic thing. I'll close with a statement. 50 years ago, you'd have never got me in a nursing home. But after I got done being a relief pastor for the Armed Forces Baptist Mission Board, and Doug Carragher told me to stay home and do nursing homes, I said, oh. And God has touched me. I love those people. I care about them. Amen. They need help. Amen. So some of you, help us. Amen. And then we can help them. Amen?
Thank you, Brother Nixon. Your heart has to be right to do that work. And Brother Nixon's been faithful at it. Time would not allow us to call up everybody that's participated in the other outside ministries. Of course, Brother Perkins works also here with the Senior Patriots. I'm not going to ask him to say anything tonight. We'll be in watch night service soon. And again, we'll be able to maybe pick up some that we're not picking up tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Larry Murkowski to come and tell what he does. Some of you thought he was skipping and going fishing every Sunday morning, but he been doing something else. So I'll let him tell his side of it here.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Well, I appreciate this opportunity to come up here this evening. The ministry that we're involved in as a family, well, first of all, Brother Bunch gave me a call back in September of 2016, and he asked me if I would be interested in doing a church service at Lake Magic RV Park. It's an RV park up there on Route 192 in Claremont, Kissimmee, whatever you want to call it up there. Brother Cruz was doing that ministry for many years, and Brother Cruz was moving to North Carolina. So Brother Bunch asked if we'd be interested, and we accepted. And our whole family has been going there every Sunday morning from November, the beginning of November through the end of March. We have a 9 a.m. service every Sunday morning. We do a Baptist church service there at the RV park. The resort is located up on Route 192. If you were to head up Route 27 going north, and you get to 192 there, it's about, and then you turn right on 192, it's about a quarter mile, half mile down the road. There's a light there across the street from Publix, and there's a Lake Magic RV park. It's about a 25 or 30 minute ride to get there, depending upon the traffic, unless, of course, if I let my wife drive, then it's 20 minutes. But I generally want to get there safe, so I take the wheel, make sure we get there safely each and every week. But again, we meet every Sunday at 9 a.m. in their activity center. And we have generally anywhere from about 20 to peak season, about, we've had 75 people there in that ministry. And it's been a tremendous blessing. And what we did last year is I asked Brother Osawardi in the curriculum department to print us up a flyer, and he made these nice color flyers for us. And I took it to the management there at the RV park, and I asked them if they would pass them out to the folks. And what they do is they put it in their welcome packets. So anytime someone shows up and they pull into the RV park, their first time there, they hand them this welcome packet. And in there is this nice brochure about our church service. And actually, it has helped us to get many new people to come in to the services. Matthew 28, verse 19 tells us this. Tells us, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And most people, when they think about that verse, they think about people going outside of our country, like last night, hearing those three gentlemen and hearing the tremendous stories that they have and the tremendous blessings that God has bestowed upon them. They're doing a great job with their ministries. But, you know, we have a ministry right here in our country. I mean, last I checked, the United States was still a nation. Yeah. So we are a nation that needs the gospel. And when you go there to Lake Magic RV Park, you're going to see license plates from all over the country, mostly the eastern half, but from Maine and Michigan and Ohio and New York and Pennsylvania and Massachusetts and the promised land of Georgia. There'll be folks down there from all over, including Canada, all different provinces of Canada. And so we do have a great opportunity to minister to people from all over our country when they come there to Lake Magic RV Park. A couple of quick stories here. I may have said them in the past, but they're great to repeat. There was a gentleman that was there, a couple in our ministry, and we have a prayer request time in each service, and we pray for these different prayer requests, and we put them on the back of our flyer each week so people can be reminded to pray for these things. And there was a gentleman that was having a double transplant, double organ transplant, and he lived in Louisiana. And some folks, some friends of his said, could you please pray for him, or can we pray for him regularly? And we did. As a church, we prayed for him, and come to find out, he had a successful double transplant. A year later, that couple walks into the service along with another couple, and they introduce us. He walks over, he goes, Brother Larry, I'd like you to meet this couple. This is, I forget the gentleman's name, I'm sorry about that, but this is so-and-so. This is the gentleman that we were praying for. He had a successful surgery, and he wanted to come here. He wanted to personally thank you for your prayers, and thank you for the prayers of all the people here in the service. But then the best part about it was, at the end of that service, he trusted Christ as his Savior that day as well. What a tremendous blessing that was. We had another couple that showed up right after the election, the general election, when President Trump was elected. And that Sunday morning, I wasn't boasting over the winning of President Trump. I was just stating a fact that we believe that it was God's providence that President Trump won the election. Even though all the polls said he wasn't going to do it, we firmly believe that, you know, it was God that put him in place there. And as soon as I said that, this lady got up and walked out. I'm like, oh, well, I'm sorry if I offended you. I didn't say that, but her husband stuck around for the rest of the service, and at the end of the service, he trusted Christ as his Savior. So you never know what God's going to do there. And then one more last one, and this one I mentioned in the past as well. There's a gentleman by the name of Mike Colangelo. Great name, Mike Colangelo. And Mike, he and his wife mentioned to us last year in the service that he had a stage 4 brain cancer and that he was only given a year to live, and he was already 6 months into that year approximately. And we were praying for him as a church, as a congregation, as a group of people. We were praying for him regularly and earnestly. And I got to read you what Mrs. Colangelo sent me in an email. This was after. Now, our ministry goes through the end of March, and this was in April. And he said, Brother Markowski, he said, wish I could tell you at church. He said, we miss you and family. Mike was told in Ohio, most people with GBM, which is glioblastoma, it's the most aggressive cancer that begins within the brain. He said, Mike was told in Ohio that most people with GBM stage 4 usually die in 12 months. He was diagnosed on 9/28/18. Mike was in hospital in Orlando for 5 days after you left. Did not know me or anything for 2 days. After many tests and 2 MRI, doctor in Orlando came in the room and said, Mike, you are a medical miracle. Only God could do this. You have no cancer in the brain. And this is the wife talking. She said, I asked him to repeat it 3 times. The doctor said he even had a good friend read the MRI, said Mike will continue chemo pills for a year as suggested. We are truly blessed. Thank you for prayers and coming to Lake Magic. You know, there are people all around the world and also people right around the corner that need to hear the gospel, that need to hear the word of God preached, that need to have a church, a place where they can gather together, hear the word preached, pray together, and a place where they can rely upon one another, rest upon one another for comfort, for prayer, and for support. And we are blessed as a family to be a part of the Lake Magic RV Park Ministry. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, thank you, Brother Larry. Some of you would know those blessings he shared with us, but most of our church wouldn't. And stuff going on, like I say, a lot of folks don't know about it. But God's got everything in his record book, amen? I've asked Brother Donahue to be our last one tonight. Brother Donahue, of course, makes the trips over to the orphans' homes and the tremendous work that's been going on there. And, of course, he could talk about it all night. He's going to give us maybe 10 minutes here to wrap up tonight. And I don't know how he has the strength to make those trips. It's so hard physically, and then the conditions too, but it is tremendous what God has done over there and how he's raised the funds to do. And Brother Donahue is the human element that God has made responsible and used so much. And Brother Donahue, come on, share with us, please.
Thank you, preacher. Amen. Folks, I do nothing. It's God that does it all and the church that does it all. We go year to year praying about the funds and for missions, and we see the miracle happen of God supplying and providing. I was looking over, this is our 20th year. It's hard to believe that it's been that long. But 2020, And the church, the radio station would always say, the church with the vision, 2020, our address here. And I realized that this is Landmarks 2020. 2020 is coming, and we got to reach that goal this year. We have such a need for the ministries here. I mean, we haven't even touched the hem of the garment with the ones that have been. There are so many other ministries here that haven't had a chance to speak, and maybe on New Year's Eve they may be able to. But there's just so much. I mean, you watch people going out, winning souls and knocking on doors, and the youth department that we have here, the challenge that they're giving to the young people. I'm going to just take a minute for a little personal story. My granddaughter left church last night, her brother driving her home. They stopped to get a smoothie, and when they stopped at the donut place to get the smoothie, Rosie Roberts led the lady to the Lord at the store. She said to the lady, if you were to die right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? And the lady says, I don't think so. She said, would you mind if I go to the car and get my Bible and come back and show you? And she did, and the lady prayed, and then the lady cried, and then Rosie cried, and she ran home and told her mother, and her mother started crying, and you know. So, but this is what we do here, and it's every single ministry that's soul conscious, and we ought to be soul conscious. We ought to have that 2020 vision. We ought to have the vision of souls being saved. We ought to have that vision of heaven. We ought to have that vision of people dropping into hell. So we'll go out and we'll give more, and we'll be able to share much more with the people around us. And what a challenge we have here. And the Bible says in Proverbs, where there is no vision, people perish. We need our vision. We need our mission vision. We need the goals to be reached so we can reach more people. And it's our challenge. God has given us this challenge to do. We've seen it happen on the radio station. We've seen it happen how God supplied in the bus ministry. We've seen it how it happened in all the various ministries that we have. We prayed for $7,000 for children for Christmas to buy them clothes. Not toys, not games, but clothes, and we buy a pig for each orphanage. And we have generated the funds. And I had a church call me up and say, we're going to give you more because we know you can use more. So God has a way of providing and supplying, and it works well for us. The Bible also says, say ye not that there are 4 months, yet and then cometh the harvest. We forget that the fields are white unto harvest, and that there are souls hanging in the balance. And we need to know that heaven is our home, and we need to be able to share with the people around the world that heaven is our home. We operate 14 orphanages. We support 14 orphanages. We have Bible colleges. I have a graduation on anniversary Sunday. Preacher, I won't be here. But we have our this is our seventh graduation, our 10th graduation in our Bible college in Burma. And we're excited that every year there's more students graduating, and then they're going off and starting churches. 18 churches have been started just from our Bible college. And that's just unbelievable. And now one of our Bible college students is starting a church in the far reaches of the country that I can't even get to. And it's a challenge, and it's an exciting time. And it all started right here. Right here. We had the burden for a student that came from Burma and told us that there was a need for children. And because he just blew my mind telling me these things, how the kids were living in the streets, and I just couldn't believe what was going on. I mean, I lived in the Bronx. In the tenement house in the Bronx, where we had to use broomsticks to push the rats back into the holes, and that's the truth. And but we were living like kings compared to these people. but only by God's grace was I able to go over there and see this, and in a short amount of time be able to buy the land and build the buildings, and now all of our buildings are up except ones under construction. But the fact is that it's all paid for. We have no debt, and God has provided everything we need. You know, we had a saying when I was in the military that we've done so much with so little that we could do almost anything with nothing. Yeah. And this is what we are. We never have a balance, but we always have what we need. And God has blessed us, and I'm honored to represent Landmark Baptist Church in the countries that I go to. Thank you, and God bless you.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, amen. We also remind folks, if you look back there in the back, you'll see Brother Ken Lee's table, the ministry to the Jews, to Israel. And we're going to ask Brother Ken to come on up. I believe God's blessing has been on our church through the years because we've taken a position, a pro-Israel position. I never thought when I first started in the ministry that I would see even independent Baptists get mixed up. You're supposed to be pro-Israel. And Brother Ken is doing a good job. He's got a unique ministry. And you'll learn something off his table there. And I've asked him to come and take the final 10 minutes tonight. And again, this is, say, is that home missions or foreign? Well, it's here and there. Amen. And Brother Ken, you come on.
Good evening, y'all. Most of you know me, so I won't introduce myself except to say I'm glad I'm a child of God. Amen. Gentile ministry was founded by Dr. Brian Sharp, 2005. The primary goal of Gentile ministry is to get the word of God to the nation of Israel and to Jews wherever they are. Here, Israel, South America, wherever. We print our own Bibles, Hebrew, Hebrew English, Russian, Hebrew, Spanish. All the English Bibles are King James Version. I'm a 69-year-old guy. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist who was one before he was born. I did not know of a ministry that was dedicated to saving lives, to save souls, until I found out about Gentile ministry. My wife and I went with Dr. Sharp in 2016 to Israel. We went from the Mediterranean Sea all the way down to the Red Sea, to the Golan Heights, to Lebanon, Syrian, Jordan borders. Every time we would stop, we would sing to the Israeli people. We blow their minds. They say, "Who are you?" We say, "We are independent, fundamental Zionist Baptists that love the Lord, and we love you." Amen. It sets them back on their heels because nobody says, "I love you." We have two assemblies in Israel, one at Ashdod and one at Bet Shem. They conduct services each week, multiple Bible studies, and Bible studies on the internet via Skype. We provide materials, training, vans for van routes that go out and collect the people for the church services and for the Bible studies. We provide supplies for Rav Shots for communities along the Gaza border and the Golan Heights. A Rav Shots is like a super county sheriff on steroids. He is a first line defense against terrorism. He has a radio contact with the IDF 24/7. If there's an emergency, he coordinates all the emergency services. He has to know where everyone is 24/7. He goes out and works a day job, comes home, sleeps a few hours, and then goes out and patrols his community and the farmlands all night long. Gets some sleep, and then he goes. GM is saving lives of those in the community. We provide them supplies that they cannot get. Something just as simple as a multi-purpose tool is extremely expensive over there. GM supports the 4x4 police unit in Jerusalem. These volunteers go out night after night and patrol the extremely rough terrain around Jerusalem and Bethlehem. We have a vehicle over there. It is regularly called out for special operations. Any officer that comes on our Jeep gets a Tanakh and gets witnessed to by the driver. GM supports the farmers of the area just north of the Sea of Galilee. We volunteer to help the night guardians, a group called Hamer HaKadesh, who patrol the farmlands. They assist the farmers to stop theft of livestock, crops, and equipment, which happens quite often, especially at night. GM is currently working 30 communities along the Gaza and Golan Heights. Gentile ministry reaches out to the groups that I have named to reach out to others. Through the Rav Shatz and the farmers, we get invited into the towns. We get invited to communities. We meet the husbands, the wives, the mayors, the councilmen. It just goes. And they love, still, they're so surprised. Here's somebody flying 5,000 miles, and they say, "We love you." I stated earlier I was an IFB when I was born. Through Gentile ministry, I've really come to see that I'm an independent fundamental Zionist Baptist. You have to make a distinction over there. If you say you're a Christian, they automatically equate you with the Lutheran Church, the Roman Catholic Church, and the Crusades.
Right.
That's just the mentality.
Yeah.
If you want to know the difference, ask me after the service. God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that stands today, contrary to the teachings of some of the modern IFB places that say they preach. We owe the Hebrew people a lot. They gave us our Messiah. They gave us our Bible. They accurately preserved it down through the centuries. Isaiah 42, chapter 40, verse 2 says, "Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, cry unto her, and that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." This verse over here on my right says to bring them from the darkness to the light, and that's our goal. The mission gauge over here on my left, that doesn't reflect just dollars for mission giving. It reflects this church's commitment to the Great Commission and to save souls. Thank you.
You know, the Genesis 12, still in the Bible, God speaking of the Jew, says he'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. I believe the blessings on our church through the years as we've taken a stand, biblical stand. And it is amazing how God is raising up people, I believe, in these last days to stand with Israel. Because, boy, you can see the enemy out there standing against them big time. Well, let's stand. I'll tell you what, I've enjoyed the night. We could keep on going. We'll have some more of this at the Watch Night service. But if you come to church and you say, "Well, it was just an average night tonight." Well, maybe it was on this spot. But what was going on all the other spots that we're connected with? Amen. Been great. Amen. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight. Thank you for our mission conference. Thank you for last night. Pray you'd give us a good wind-up Sunday. We pray for the new goal. It'll be reached. The old goal will be reached and a new one set. And Father, I pray that souls would be saved around the world wherever we've been blessed of you to have an outreach. Thank you again for the Lord Jesus. And all the honor and glory goes to him. And we thank you in his name. Amen.